Hey there, I'm Denise Carter. I'm a general manager here at JAMS and CRFOC's board secretary. On behalf of our organization, I'd like to thank you for volunteering your time as an attorney scorekeeper. CRFOC is a nonprofit, nonpartisan civic education organization that has managed the Orange County High School mock trial competition since 1981. Each year, over 40 local high schools and nearly 1,000 students participate in this exciting educational experience. We could not offer this program without your involvement, and we thank you. The facts of this year's case are as follows. People v. Klein is the trial of Regan Klein, a young resident of the town of East Flamingo, California. Regan is charged with two felony counts, making a false report of an emergency, in this case, commonly referred to as swatting, and making a criminal threat. The prosecution alleges that Regan threatened Regan's coworker, Sawyer Smith, via a social media post on the popular picture-sharing app NowPic. The prosecution argues that Regan had animosity against Sawyer because Sawyer had become a rising social media influencer and because Sawyer was responsible for Regan being fired from the restaurant where they both worked. Regan and two other coworkers, Cameron Holmes and Marlo Patterson, engaged in a catfishing prank against Sawyer in which they created a fictitious romantic interest for Sawyer named Hayden Carlton. As revenge for the catfishing, Sawyer became responsible for Regan's firing, which caused Regan to post a threatening message as Hayden Carlton, stating, "You deserve to die. I'm going to get you for this. You just wait. I hate you. When you're dead, no one will even miss you, you monstrous slime of a person. Watch your back, Sawyer. I'm coming for you." In a pretrial motion, the prosecution will argue that the threat constituted a true threat and was not protected by the First Amendment, since a true threat is one that is sufficient to cause a reasonable person to be in sustained fear, which Sawyer experienced. The pretrial argument on this count will be dispositive as to whether Regan's message was a true threat. The prosecution further argues that during the evening of the same day as the threat, Regan made a false text a tip to the police requesting police respond to a hostage situation at Sawyer's residence. A SWAT team responded to the call, and Sawyer was seriously injured. An expert witness in linguistics will argue that the characteristics of the text-a-tip closely matched Regan's typical texts. The defense argues that though Regan and the others did perpetuate the catfishing prank, Regan neither threatened Sawyer nor made the false swatting text to the police. The defense further argues that Regan had no more animosity towards Sawyer than co-workers Cameron and Marlo, who all disliked Sawyer's influencer personality and who all shared in the cyberbullying of Sawyer through catfishing. But the defense argues that Cameron, in particular, had animosity towards Regan and a motive to lie as a prosecution witness to incriminate Regan. In the pretrial motion, the defense will argue that Regan's post as Hayden Carlton was not a true threat and is therefore protected free speech under the First Amendment. The comment lacked the unequivocal, unconditional, immediate, and specific language normally required to constitute a threat, and the surrounding circumstances show that Sawyer did not perceive the message as a true threat, since there is evidence to show that Sawyer did not experience sustained fear. The defense further argues that Regan did not make the false text-a-tip report to the police, since the mobile phone used belonged to Cameron, and since evidence shows that Cameron had equal access to the mobile phone at the time the text was sent. An expert witness in linguistics for the defense will argue that using alternative methods of text analysis demonstrates that Cameron, not Regan, is more likely to have sent the text. You will now hear from the Honorable Richard Lee for tips and guidance on scoring and important competition rules.
Thanks for tuning in to CRFOC's podcast for the Orange County High School Mock Trial Competition. I'm Judge Richard Lee. I am a Superior Court judge in the Orange County Superior Court and have been involved with mock trial as a student participant, attorney coach, attorney scorekeeper, and judge over the last 30 years. Thank you so much for volunteering your time to make this very important program such a success. This portion of the podcast will cover general tips and advice on how to make the most of your volunteer experience. First things first, what is expected of an attorney scorekeeper? Generally, your role is to numerically score the students' presentations based on the criteria listed in the attorney handbook. You should have received the attorney handbook when you submitted your registration form, but don't worry if you forgot to review this information before the mock trial. One of my judicial colleagues will provide a handout listing the scoring criteria when you get into the courtroom. All attorney and witness roles are evaluated on a scale of 1 to 10. The bailiff and clerk roles are scored on a 1 to 5 scale. When evaluating a student performance, CRFOC recommends that scorers use 5 as an indication of an average presentation and adjust higher or lower for stronger or weaker presentations. A score of 10 should be reserved for only the most exceptional of performances. If a score of 3 or lower is given, please provide comments on the team roster award nomination form. The most important consideration in scoring is that the ultimate scores reflect the relative differences in the performance of the two teams. Depending on the round, you may find that the teams are very evenly matched, and you will be called upon to make fine distinctions in scoring from attorney to attorney or witness to witness. It is helpful to score the first few attorney and witness scores with a little flexibility to go up or down as the round progresses. You will also be asked to provide a score for team performance and participation. This category should be based on the following criteria. 1. Team members and coaches were courteous, observed general courtroom decorum, and displayed good sportsmanship. 2. All team members were involved in the presentation of the case and actively participated in fulfilling their respective roles. And 3. As much as possible, each trial attorney displayed examination and argumentation skills, and when appropriate, displayed knowledge of the California Simplified Rules of Evidence in making objections. Attorney scorekeepers are asked to also provide brief general comments following the trial. These comments should provide constructive feedback for the teams. Following the general comments, individual students may ask you for feedback on their specific performances. Please remember to be constructive and positive in your comments. Please do not announce a winner or give students their scores. You can also leave written comments on the team roster award nomination forms that are distributed at the start of the trial. You can use this form to nominate those students who did an exceptional job for individual awards. CRFOC will send these sheets to the coaches following the trial. Important things to consider. 1. Students are limited to the information in the case packet. They may not conduct outside research or cite laws that are not part of the materials. 2. Scorers should not evaluate the legal merits of the case. And 3. Mock trials are bench trials. Students may not address attorney scorekeepers as if they were members of a jury. Special mock trial rules to keep in mind. 1. Students are limited to the objections in the case materials. 2. There is no recross allowed. Just direct, cross, and then redirect. 3. Outside the scope of direct is not an allowable objection on cross, but outside the scope of cross is an allowable objection on redirect. 4. The attorney who conducts the cross-examination of a witness is the only person allowed to make objections during the direct examination of the witness. 5. Objections are not permitted during opening statements and closing arguments. 6. It is each student's responsibility to work closely within the record. An objection of unfair extrapolation is allowable for the purposes of the mock trial competition when a witness creates a material fact not included in his or her official record. A material fact is one that would likely impact the outcome of the case. 7. All physical evidence and witnesses mentioned in the case materials but not made physically available for trial are considered unavailable, and their availability may not be questioned. 8. Whether a team introduces, uses, and moves the exhibits into evidence is entirely optional, but all of the exhibits listed in the case materials must be available at trial for either side to use. And 9, teams should not argue for hyper-technical interpretations of the rules, especially when designed to embarrass others. And that's it. On behalf of CRFOC and myself, we hope that you enjoy your volunteer experience. Above all, please remember that the aim of this program is to provide a fun, educational, and rewarding experience for the student participants. It is entirely possible that one of the students who participates in the mock trial program in the round you are scoring will go on to law school, become a member of the bar, and possibly even a judge on our bench. You make a tremendous impact on them, and your efforts are very greatly appreciated. On behalf of the mock trial teams, coaches, CRFOC, and myself, thank you for giving your time and effort to this program.